What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I am a radio host at Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings. I also work on every Kings broadcast with the crew. We got another good one for you today. Playoffs continue. Teams keep getting eliminated. Team seasons are ending just about every other day. So we're going to look into some of that, see how the Pelicans loss to the Warriors in the round two of the NBA playoffs might affect the Kings moving forward, how they might be able to take advantage of it, and some new coaches getting hired as well. We got all that coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned in the intro, the New Orleans Pelicans end up losing last night to the Golden State Warriors, lose the series 4-1. Now, the Pelicans, they had a solid year. I'll get to that in a second. Let me finish this little roundup here. Warriors are now moving on to the Western Conference Finals. Fourth year in a row, they will be taking on the Houston Rockets. That starts next Monday, next Tuesday maybe, I think Monday or Tuesday. So it's a long wait. This is, as you've heard me talk about how great the playoffs are, this is also one of the whack parts of the playoffs. In the first series or first round, you get, you know, 3 to 4 games a night. It's awesome. Just tons of hoops, tons of high-level hoops. And then second round comes, you know, 1 to 2 games a night. You might have a day or two with no games, but that's about it. And then you get to the Western Conference Finals and there's a week off and like 4 days in between games. So it slows down, which is too bad. But it's understandable that you have the ability to, you know, have this much time in between games, make sure everyone's healthy and ready to go, try and get teams on level playing field as far as that's concerned. So I get it, but, you know, you know me, I'd rather just watch a bunch of basketball, but whatever. So the Pelicans end up losing to the Warriors in Game 5. Warriors win 113-104. Warriors do what they do. I think they were up by 3 at halftime and then, you know, up by 20-something going into the fourth. Just their one of their patented 25-4 runs in the third quarter. They're a juggernaut. You know, what can you say? I give New Orleans a lot of credit because they did not pack it in. They fought back. I mean, I think they got it down to 9 late in the fourth, which, you know, oh, wow, 9. But considering it was, you know, a 25-point deficit, it was they showed a lot of heart, which good teams do. You know, it's usually the not-so-good teams that will pack it in and say, we're good. We'll just 1-2-3 Cancun. Like Alvin Gentry said. But I do want to give the Pelicans a lot of credit for the season that they had. Even with DeMarcus Cousins, you know, the Pelicans finished 48-34. If you told me that's what they were going to finish with a healthy DeMarcus all year, I would have thought that's a pretty good season. But they didn't have him for like half the season and were able to make a move for Nikola Mirotic, kind of change the way they play, change to more of an Alvin Gentry style of, you know, 7 seconds or less kind of offense. Defensively, played better. They do have good defensive players in Rondo. Well, Rondo, when he's locked in, when he wants to be a good defender, he can be. Jrue Holiday is an all-league defensive point guard for sure. Anthony Davis, one of the top 5-6 players in the league. So that's a good team that has a bright future, depending on what they do. And that's the other thing. And you've heard me say it before, and this is a theme that you'll continue to hear from me, is you don't always have to make the moves. It's, you know, you don't always have to give Allen Crabbe $72 million. The Trailblazers are my main example from a couple years ago. So Mirotić, they have locked up for one more year. He's a guy you would expect they'd like to keep around, but then it gets a little murky, though, because I would imagine they're going to bring DeMarcus Cousins back for big money. Or relatively big money. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a 1-year deal with a player option in the second year for, you know, $50 million or something. A solid deal. I doubt he'll get the max coming off an Achilles tear. But I will say this, if there's a team out there that wants to give him the max, I think they could pull him away from New Orleans, obviously. But I think that's a big risk that I don't think teams will make, especially with the lack of cap space out there this upcoming offseason. But as I was saying, the Pelicans have a solid team, probably need a little more depth, a little more wing help. Mirotić is a power forward. He's not a three at all. You can play him there sometimes, but I wouldn't. that's not his role. And they have Etuan Moore playing the three, who's, you know, he's 6'4". He's more of a shooting guard than a small forward. So they have some things they could try and work out, but they also are kind of strapped for cash. Ian Clark played well for them at times, but he can also be a liability at times. Also, he's, especially defensively, he's a good 9th or 10th man on your bench. He's nice to have, but if you are planning on him being your 6th man, you know, one of your top 6 or 7 players, he's not that. And I like Ian Clark. I think he's a good player. One of the things they're going to have to hope for is Frank Jackson, one of their, I think he was a 2nd-round pick last year, but he's got some game. Him coming back healthy, he fractured his right foot earlier in the year. They picked up Jordan Crawford late in the year, who, he can fill it up, he can get you buckets. Was just never really too able to find his way into the rotation. So, I don't know. You just got to be careful with the money you spend. Ian Clark's a free agent, so is Jordan Crawford, Rondo, I think one more. Well, Cousins, obviously. But those are the free agents. I would try and bring all of them back. Personally, I would imagine Rondo is going to be a priority for them, especially as a guy who's bounced around the league the last couple of years. Sacramento Kings fans remember him for sure. But it seems like he's found a home in New Orleans with this Pelicans team. Unless there's another team that wants to give him a nice little pay bump, I would imagine he'll be back, and I imagine they would want him back also. One thing we've heard about Rondo is teammates love him. He's always getting praised by his teammates. I think it's more coaching staff and front office might not enjoy his deal so much. But he's solid, not the prototypical 2018 point guard you want, but he's still good. He's still good. He still gets it done. And so he signed a 1-year deal with them last year for, I think, $3 million, so we'll see if they give him a little pay raise or what happens with him, but I would imagine that he'll be back. I would imagine they'll want him back. But if it's for big money, if you have to break the bank or go further into the luxury tax than you want to for it, I would not. But that's just me. That's just me. But that's my point that I've been making is you don't have to do these things. Portland didn't have to give out the deals that they did, and now they're in a tough spot. If Rondo can get a better deal somewhere else, that will handcuff you down the road, I'd let him walk. But, again, that is just me. So, anyways, that's the Pelicans. We are getting the Warriors and the Rockets coming up in the Western Conference Finals. I'm pretty jacked about that. We also had some coaching hires happen this week that we will get to as well. I want to finish up with the Pelicans and how it might relate to the Kings. I mentioned their free agents, and they have a couple of former Kings on that team, as I mentioned, Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, how crazy would it be if the Kings brought back DeMarcus? I think there's 0.5%. So I'll give them 0.5% that happens, but I wouldn't shut the door all the way. I doubt it would happen, but watching this Kings team this last year, and look, I was one of the guys who was all for moving on from DeMarcus. I get it. I understood the move. I liked the move. I think it's worked out relatively well for them also, and if you want to look at individual players or individual statistics and say, well, they only got Buddy Hield, really, and how have these other guys worked out, and blah, blah, blah. Well, let's look at just team success. What did the Pelicans do with DeMarcus? They won some games. Might have made the playoffs. Probably would have. But they did it without him. You know, so I think it was a fine deal moving on from DeMarcus. But I also would have watching the Kings this year because, and as I mentioned, I was fine with them moving on to DeMarcus. I thought it was the right time. But you can't deny his talent. And watching the Kings this year with the players that they're, developing and the way they're progressing, I would love to see. I would have loved it if it could have worked out that DeMarcus got to play with these guys. Obviously, that's not how it works because you wouldn't have Buddy and some of the other young guys without the DeMarcus trade. So blah, blah, blah. But it would be interesting to see him with this squad. I know that's just fantasy booking or whatever, fantasy trades, fantasy GM. But as I said, there's a half a percentage chance that he comes back. It's not going to happen. Rondo, same thing. They don't need a point guard. No thanks. Pass. Jordan Crawford is a little interesting to me just because it would be another scorer off the bench for the Kings, which they need, unless they're really sold on one of these young guys taking a step like Scal. If Scal can become a nice piece off the bench, that'd be huge. Or Frank Mason. But Jordan Crawford coming off the bench with Buddy Hield would just be buckets. I mean, it'd be pretty efficient. Some nice scoring. Ian Clark is another guy that he's basically an undersized two guard, and he's another guy who I think has found at least a temporary home in New Orleans. I think he gets at least one more year there, if not two, because it worked out well for him. It did work out well for him, and he showed up pretty well in the playoffs too. He's streaky. He'll give you a really good game and some bad games, and he can be a liability on defense, but I think he's going to be there. So I would, if I'm the Kings, that's not the guy I'd go for. If I was going to go for anyone from the Pelicans, it would be Jordan Crawford. And, you know, just go out there and get buckets, man. You and Buckets Hield. Buddy Buckets. Make it happen. So that's my connection with the Kings and moves I think they could look at moving forward. The other thing about Jordan Crawford is you get him for cheap. You probably get him for the minimum. Or even just a small pay raise, you get him for, you know, multiple years. Depending on how you feel about him, obviously. So there it is. Pelican season over. Warriors, Rockets, starting in a week. So enjoy waiting for that one. You are listening to Locked On Kings. We are going to look at some of the coaching hires around the league coming up next and how that might affect the Kings moving forward. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Some of the newest news throughout the NBA. We have a new head coach in Charlotte. It is James Borrega. He was an assistant with the San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich, as you all know. I like it, and maybe I'm just a sucker for Greg Popovich hires, and maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, but it's worked out. There's a lot of good coaches there that have. You know, had success outside of San Antonio. And I mean, Greg Popovich does a great job developing coaches. What can I say? That's all there is to it. And maybe I'm a sucker for it, but if you look at the NFL, it doesn't always work out that way. Bill Belichick, I can't remember the last really good coach that came from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. I mean, there's some really good coordinators and whatnot, but as far as great coaches, I don't know. Head coaches, I don't know. I can't remember any. But it's worked well for Popovich and his coaching tree, and James Borrego is part of that. And some of our friends over at Locked On Hornets had a nice little rundown of the hire, and we're going to throw to that real quick.
I'm Walker Mail of the Locked On Hornets podcast. The Charlotte Hornets now have selected James Borrego as their new head coach. Again, this is coming after the Hornets had finalized a couple of head coaching candidates in the Spurs assistant James Borrego and the Celtics assistant Jay Larinaga. Again, Adrian Wojnarowski just reporting that James Borrego would be the new head coach for the Charlotte Hornets. Now, Borrego comes in having had 10 years of experience under Greg Popovich, did serve a short stint with the Orlando Magic under Jacques Vaughn, eventually taking over for him when he was let go by the Magic, and accumulating a 10-20 record as the interim head coach. Of course, Scott Skiles comes in with Orlando to become the new head coach, and Borrego goes back to the San Antonio Spurs to serve under Greg Popovich. Also served under Monty Williams for a brief stint with the New Orleans then Hornets. Monty Williams, of course, coming also from that Greg Popovich tree. So James Borrego has a little bit of head coaching experience as the interim head coach with Orlando, but also a ton of experience under what a lot of people consider to be the best coach in today's NBA and maybe of all time, and Greg Popovich. So Borrego now replaces Steve Clifford, who was fired at the end of this regular season, as Mitch Kupchak, the new general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, came in and decided Steve Clifford's fate. Mitch Kupchak, again, served a long time with the Los Angeles Lakers, about 20 years, and he is at the helm now of the Charlotte Hornets' decision-making as the general manager who now brings in James Borrego. A couple of other questions to go on with the Charlotte Hornets as what their future may look like. You do have Kemba Walker, who was rumored in some trade consideration really before the trade deadline. They held on to him then. It does not mean that he is a surefire thing to stay on this Charlotte Hornets roster, so who knows what Mitch Kupchak decides to do there. You do have, of course, Dwight Howard, who is a guy that is a big man down low that is kind of losing some value in today's NBA, but still carries a hefty contract. You wonder what kind of trading partners the Charlotte Hornets could see there. There's a lot of questions for the Charlotte Hornets team, but one that is no longer a question, they did find the answer, at least of now, and that is James Borrego, the San Antonio Spurs former assistant, now the Charlotte Hornets' new head coach. Again, thanks for listening. I'm Walker Mail on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Thank you for that, Walker. We appreciate the rundown, the info. One thing that he mentioned that is really intriguing to me, and I'd love to know what you guys think, so hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415, because this is all fantasy GM stuff. But look, I think the Kings are in a position to make a move or two. And some of the major swings that they could take, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be so into it, but he mentioned Kemba Walker. And Kemba Walker was on the trade block. Now, it depends what it would take to get him, but let's say, I don't know, De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein or De'Aaron Fox and a future first rounder or something along those lines for Kemba Walker. I would be very intrigued. I can't say 100% that I would do it, like immediately, like, oh yeah, we're going to do that. Let's make that happen every time. Like when OKC traded for Paul George, even though it didn't work out, you do that every time, every single time. Yes, hindsight, Oladipo was great, but bottom line, Oladipo wasn't the same player in OKC. And same thing with Sabonis. At the time they made the trade, that was a home run. And I think you make that trade every single time. So Kemba Walker isn't quite that, but man, if you think, because look, I like De'Aaron Fox, but again, we don't know that he will ever be as good as Kemba Walker. And if you think about Kemba Walker, Bogey, Buddy, you know, let's say they send Willie or Scal in this hypothetical trade. And if they're able to do it and hang on to their first-round pick this year, then that's another piece. It would just be really interesting. But if you had to part with, say, De'Aaron and that top first-round pick, top 7-6 pick, whatever it's going to end up being, that'd be a little tougher. That I would kind of push back against. But if I'm the Kings, I'm doing my due diligence. I'm making the calls. I'm seeing what the deal is, just like I mentioned with Toronto the other day. You don't have to trade DeMar or Kyle Lowry, but you better be making calls. You better be seeing what's out there, just in case. So that one is really intriguing to me. Kemba Walker, super underrated. He doesn't get the pub that he would if he played in L.A. or something, which is so stupid to me. I hate that you know, market size dictates how much publicity or how good people think someone is just because he's not talked about as much. But Kemba Walker to the Kings would be really interesting. I would like it. So hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you guys think. Would you want that or not? At CTH415. I'd be into it. I'd be really into it, depending on what you have to give up, but I'd be into it. And as we've seen last year, too, with some of these superstar trades, and Kemba Walker is not a superstar, but with some of these big-name player trades, they definitely didn't, get what you thought they would in these trades. Like I said, the Cousins trade worked out because of what Buddy Hield became and what they were able to turn that number 10 overall pick into, at least what we think they were able to turn it into. We'll see what happens with Justin Jackson and Harry Giles, but they turned that one first-round pick into two first-round picks, blah, blah, blah. Paul George went for Oladipo and Sabonis, who became great, or, became really good, a lot better than they were, but at the time, that was a lopsided deal. So you don't have to give up a ton for a good player nowadays, and I think, De'Aaron Fox being a top five pick last year would be a big piece in that trade, would be an intriguing piece for sure. So there it is, James Borrego, new head coach in Charlotte, and with Mitch Kupchak, the new GM there, who knows. But you are listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to preview some of the games coming up and wrap this thing up when we come back next. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. We got a game 5 tonight in the NBA playoffs between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. I got the Celtics tonight. It's no one's ever come back 3-0. Philly's not going to be the team to do it. I like the moves they made during the season, but when you go out and get Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova in the middle of the year, and they're actually closing games for you, it's not a good scene. You're kind of screwed. I also think experience is a real thing. I used to say, well, why can't a team that's never been there figure it out and do it? Because it's just hard. It's really hard. And the fact is, the Celtics' best player is Al Horford, who's been in the playoffs his whole career, and is, a 10-12 year vet, where the Sixers' best players are, like third year rookies. I mean, I think Joel Embiid's finally played 82 games. I'm not sure. And Ben Simmons, we all know, missed his rookie year. So I just have the Celtics tonight, and it'll be interesting, too, because I think we're going to get the Eastern Conference Finals matchup that we all expected. It won't be as juicy as we thought it would be, said with Kyrie being out, but it looks like we're going to get the two Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals that we all expected. This has been Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Thank you so much for joining me. Come back tomorrow. I have a feeling we will have another season end tonight, so we'll be going over the Sixers and some of their free agents and who might fit with the Kings. And who knows, we might have another coach hiring or firing again, because it seems like it's happening every other day. So come on back tomorrow. Hopefully you will be here, because I definitely will. Thank you so much for joining me on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.